Radio Prague News. A leading Communist Party official is suing the leader of the Christian Democrats, Miroslav Kalousek, for slander. An opinion poll indicates that 38% of Czechs would not mind having the Communist Party in government. And the Prime Minister says he is not prepared to dismiss Health Minister Milada Emerová. Communist Party Deputy Chairman Vojtěch Filip is suing the leader of the Christian Democrats, Miroslav Kalousek, for slander. Philips filed a lawsuit against the Christian Democrat leader after he called the Communist Party a criminal organization. Kalousek says he will not retract the statement and is prepared to ask Parliament to strip him of his immunity in order to allow court proceedings to go ahead. The Christian Democrat leader said he would be only too happy to have communist crimes finally discussed in court. An opinion poll conducted by the STEM agency indicates that 38% of Czechs would not mind having the Communist Party in government. The respondents who expressed this view said that since the Communist Party had not been banned after the 1989 revolution, it was necessary to accept its presence on the Czech political scene. The Prime Minister, Jiří Paroubek, says he is prepared to meet with doctors to discuss their problems, but he will not be pressured into dismissing the Health Minister, Milada Emerová. GPs, specialists and some dentists have announced that they will be going on a one-day strike next Thursday in protest of the poor payment morale of some insurance companies. Doctors say the present system of financing is untenable since long delays in payments are threatening their livelihood. They blame the Health Minister, Milada Emerová, for their present problems, saying she is incapable of implementing effective reforms. German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder will make a one-day visit to Prague on Friday at the invitation of Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek. The two leaders are expected to discuss domestic politics, EU matters ahead of the EU summit in Great Britain next month, and bilateral relations. The German Chancellor and the Czech Prime Minister are said to be good friends, and the Czech media have more than once described Mr. Schröder as the Czech leader's role model. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Thursday is expected to be partly cloudy to overcast, with day temperatures between 13 and 17 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, a poll suggests many Czechs may no longer be opposed to the idea of the Communist Party in government. A car-making giant considers a huge investment in the Czech Republic. Dog poo, no thanks, says a new campaign in Prague. And later, a Czech organization helps people trace their family trees. If elections were held today, opinion polls suggest voter support would be almost equally divided between the left and right side of the political spectrum. Most leftist voters support the ruling Social Democrats. The Communist Party also enjoys enough public support to be represented in Parliament, currently with the third largest number of seats. But the Communists are currently out in the cold, as all the other parties have vowed not to cooperate with them. Results of a new poll commissioned by Czech television suggest that more and more Czechs are warming to the Communists, and 4 out of 10 would actually like to see them take a bigger part in the decision-making process. This report by Dita Asiedu.
Have we already forgotten what this country went through just 15 years ago? That was the reaction of the leader of the Christian Democrats, Miroslav Kalousek, upon the news that 38% of those polled would not oppose the communists being part of a governing coalition. But Jan Hartl, the head of the STEM agency which conducted the poll, says there's no need to ring alarm bells, as it appears that 4 out of 10 Czechs want more participation from the communists for reasons other than their ultimate return to power.
Other surveys, especially qualitative surveys among left-wing voters, showed recently that the typical attitude of the people was, just to rephrase it, once we didn't abolish communists in early 90s, and they keep staying in the parliament, we should be practical about it and try to give them some responsibility. So they could not just criticize everything very easily because they stay out of power.
The 38% in favor of the communists in government were mainly older people, people with a low education, and more than half were supporters of the Social Democrats. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, who's expected to lead the Social Democrats into the elections next year, told Czech television he belongs to the 62% of Czechs who are against the communists becoming ruling coalition partners.
The Bohumín resolution stands and is quite clear, so a direct coalition partnership with the communists is out of the question.
The Bohumín resolution, referred to by Mr. Paroubek, was adopted during a Social Democrat Party conference in 1995, banning cooperation with the Communist Party on a national level. Prime Minister Paroubek may rule out a ruling coalition with the communists, whose policies include a rejection of NATO and EU membership, but he says that he would not mind their passive support for a minority Social Democrat government.
I can imagine this government will look for support across the whole political spectrum, which includes the communists.
The Communist Party has welcomed the poll's result and sees it as a sign that the support may grow. The days when the communists were considered the bogeyman of the country are over, says Communist Party deputy leader Jiří Dolejš. But commentators say he should not jump to conclusions. Czechs may want the communists to be more active, but have certainly forgotten the 40 years of totalitarian rule, from which the party has never fully distanced itself.
Thanks for that report, Dita Asiedu. Thursday's Czech newspapers are dominated by reports of what could be one of the biggest investments ever in the Czech Republic. The South Korean car-making giant Hyundai is considering putting almost $2 billion into a new plant in Moravia. That news coming just months after another huge car plant opened near Prague. Lyle Frink writes for Automotive News Europe. I asked him how likely it was that Hyundai would make this major investment in the Czech Republic.
I think it's very likely that they will end up in Central Europe, extremely likely. The question whether it's the Czech Republic, I would say three-fourths chance, yes.
Other countries in the region are competing for this kind of investor. I understand that Hyundai's sister company, Kia, went to Slovakia. Is the Czech Republic having to compete strongly with its eastern neighbors for this Hyundai deal?
Yes and no. Yes, because an automotive plant is every FDI officer's dream, to get $1 billion or billion euros worth of investment in one spot.
And are there any potential problems if Hyundai does come to the Czech Republic? Because apparently there was great fanfare when the Slovaks attracted Kia, but then there were some problems.
There still are problems. These, I believe, are getting resolved. But yes, the land acquisition will be a key issue in wherever Hyundai decides to build its plant.
So if they come here, there could be difficulties after the deal has been struck?
There could be some, but I think as a result of the Slovak expansion, they will be far more careful about how they step into a situation.
And if Hyundai does come here, of course, they'll join other car makers such as the traditional Škoda and more recent arrivals. I know Peugeot, Citroën and Toyota opened a plant together in Kolín. What is it about the Czech Republic that appeals to international car makers?
Because this is the birthplace of the automobile. The first car in Central Europe, or I believe in Europe, was made in Kopřivnice in the Czech Republic. And the Porsche family has its origins in Liberec.
And is that really a factor for a South Korean company today?
What is a factor is that Czechs do very well with mechanical things and building. So it's right along sort of the native skill set, I guess you could say. The workforce is appealing, and also there's simply the follow the leader aspect of major suppliers are already set up in the Czech Republic. And so to be nearby, sort of in the southern flank of Poland or in Slovakia or in the Czech Republic or also perhaps in Hungary, means that you're very close to a relatively low-cost supplier base, which is essential.
What about for export? Is the Czech Republic's central location in Europe also attractive?
Yeah, it's right. The Czech Republic is quite central for export to Western Europe, and also I think there's the belief that Eastern Europe will grow as a consumer base.
I was talking there to Lyle Frink of Automotive News Europe. Just a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague.
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out indeed? And who, after letting them out, forgot to scoop up afterwards? That's a question addressed by a new campaign launched by the Prague 6 Town Hall. It features the slogan, "Please clean up so everyone likes us," us being the dogs, and the idea is to shame dog owners into doing their bit and cleaning up after their pet. But not all owners are getting the message. Jan Wellinger has more.
Walking down a Prague street can be an exercise in navigation, and Praguers have long complained about people who let their dogs go anywhere, even on a busy sidewalk. The problem becomes more serious when you consider parks and bacterial diseases like toxocariasis, which can lead to severe eye damage or blindness. For obvious reasons, children playing in parks are at greatest risk. Even so, some owners still let their dogs foul up the public space.
Yes, I have a dog, but I don't clean up. I don't want to, because most of the time I'm in a rush.
I guess it's the owner's duty, but it's impossible to always keep your dog on the leash. The rest of us just have to be a bit careful on the sidewalk, and I think the situation is bearable.
But city officials don't think the situation is bearable, and to try to change it, Prague 6 has launched a new and fairly friendly campaign. A new poster shows pooches of all kinds addressing dog owners to scoop up. The image will be featured at stores, garbage bins, and benches around town. But will it work? Tomáš Chalupa, the mayor of Prague 6, certainly hopes so.
Stále věřím, že veskrze jsme slušní lidi. A že tohle je opravdu apel na slušnost každého jednoho z nás.
I think people are still decent at heart, and this is an appeal for fairness. If people are not going to behave accordingly, it will only cost the city even more.
Budou se lidi chovat slušně, tak to budou znovu jenom vynaložené peníze.
Some studies in Great Britain have suggested that aggressive ads are probably more effective, though the impact remains difficult to gauge. In the Czech Republic, it's still an open question. Some owners remain so inconsiderate that even an abrasive ad from last year, which showed a dog and its owner defecating together on the street, was probably not enough. Some people still insist it's not their problem, others pay the price.
All the time, you know, we take off shit from the street.
You pick it up?
Yeah, pick it up.
What about when other people, though, don't? When you see somebody else and their dog is in the middle of the street?
Pick up the shit, yeah? And they smiling just, yeah. I don't know what to say.
Nejsem velký příznivec téhle ty módy, že každý má psa. A když už ho má, tak by se o něj měl starat.
I'm not a big fan of everybody owning a dog, but if they do, then they should take care of it. I have 7 grandchildren, and every once in a while, one of them steps in poo. So I can't be happy about that.
Prague 6, like other municipalities, has thrown immense efforts and finances into keeping streets clean, providing bags and bins for owners to dispose of their dog's waste. Bins currently numbering 300, for example, will be increased by a further 100 next year. Now it's just a matter of getting people to notice. In a second phase of the campaign, police officers will hand out flyers, perhaps also a reminder that those who fail to scoop up could also face the equivalent of a $40 fine. Fines, however, are rarely handed out. Prague 6 registered just 25 cases last year. People walking their dogs also often fail to carry ID or cash, adding to the problem. And city officials say if it does look like someone might get a fine, dog owners are suddenly very conscientious, some going as far as taking their animal's excrement in their bare hands when there's a policeman around.
Thanks for that report, Jan Wellinger, and I'm afraid the image of people, dog owners, picking up their dogs' messages in their bare hands will stay with me for some time. Anyway, now it's time for this week's edition of Panorama, in which we learn about a group dedicated to helping Czechs trace their roots, and it's presented by Brian Kennedy.
Founded nearly 20 years ago in a community hall in America's heartland, the Czechoslovak Genealogical Society International now boasts close to 4,000 members from all 50 American states and a half dozen countries around the globe. For the first time in its history, this society of amateur and professional genealogists has held its biannual congress in the homeland. To mark the occasion, the Czech National Archives in Prague is staging a Back to Your Roots exhibition, some 2 years in the planning. It traces the waves of Czechoslovak immigration to America through personal artifacts and encourages Czechs and those with Czech blood to take advantage of the archive's resources and trace back their family histories.
I'm Evelyn Krennick-Ferkel. My husband Don and I are here today for the genealogical conference.
I'm Dottie Spidell. My maiden name was Kokesh.
We ourselves can trace the Pavelka family into the 1600s, but we haven't linked to the religious census, and there's a gap in there, so we're working on that.
My mother was born in Ustina, Levin, and came to the United States in 1907.
I'm 15, and I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. My grandfather could see the village when he was my age.
I actually have all four grandparents who were born either in Bohemia or Moravia. So I have many roots to search.
Kšenek, Pavelka, Ferkel, Kokesh. Typical Czech surnames all. They belong to members of the Czechoslovak Genealogical Society who have stopped for a chat in a Prague hotel lobby on the last day of the society's Back to the Homeland program of tours and lectures. The U.S.-based organization to which they belong has for nearly two decades now been helping people trace their family trees back to the Czechoslovak region as it stood in 1918, when the independent nation emerged from the ashes of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Today we're bringing to the Czech lands our first international conference. We have major conferences every 2 years. We've been in Chicago and we've been in Lincoln.
Dave Pavelka, a fifth-generation Czech-American from the state of Minnesota, is the society's co-founder.
In Lincoln, that was a great place for Czechs. We've been in Pittsburgh, which is a great place for Slovaks, great population density. We've been in Houston, many Moravians in Houston. So after we did all those, it said, where can we go? We have to go back to the homeland.
This is my fourth visit and my husband's third. We grew up in the very Czech-American corridor west of Chicago, Cicero and Berwyn.
Like many society members, the Ferkels are eager to connect to their roots and have visited the old country many times since 1989. This time around, they have retained professional Czech researchers to help them navigate town and church records. The ultimate prize? To meet a long-lost family member.
And so we're going to spend the next 2 days going to the villages near Mleta Boleslav and the Miknovi Hradiště and meet some of the people who may be distantly related.
Some 125 society members traveled to the homeland this past week to search through land registers, regional and national archives, military records and the like for clues as to where their forebears hailed from, be it Bohemia, Moravia, Slovakia, or the region of Silesia that crosses into Poland, and Ruthenia, once the easternmost part of Czechoslovakia, and now a part of Ukraine.
I learned that my grandfather sold his feather bed, which was one of his few belongings, and off in America he went all by himself.
Among those making quantum leaps this past week in piecing together their family history was society member Dottie Spidell.
We went to the Radnice, the city hall. There was a directory, and indeed, the shop that he apprenticed in was on the town square, building number 64.
Mrs. Spidell also got proof that before emigrating to the U.S. at the age of 14, her grandfather had, in 1880, apprenticed for a man named Josef Chop at a general store in the southern Bohemian town of Telč.
I took a photo of it. I have information about it.
And all of this you discovered on this trip here to Prague?
Yes, I was absolutely thrilled and delighted.
The first major wave of Czechoslovak immigration to America came in 1735, when a group of Moravian brethren, descendants of the followers of the religious reformer Jan Hus, who were exiled after the defeat of the Protestants at the Battle of White Mountain over a century before, made their way to the New World. By the time of the American Revolution in 1776, more than 2,000 Czechoslovaks were living in the former British colony that was to become the United States.
We all have ancestors who fought in the Austro-Hungarian armies for the Habsburgs.
The next big waves of Czechoslovak immigration came after the 1848 revolutions that swept through the Habsburg Kingdom, and in 1914, as Europe mobilized for the First World War. But before the Velvet Revolution of 1989 and the collapse of communism, few people living outside the former Czechoslovakia, and virtually no amateur genealogists, had access to the rich historical records here. Dave Pavelka again.
In those days, it was an impossible task because of the political situation in the Czech lands. It was a communist country. Travel was difficult. The archives were almost inaccessible.
Even so, through decades of hunting through dusty archives on both sides of the Atlantic, Dave Pavelka has managed to trace back his Czech roots nearly four centuries. Through cooperation with the Prague-based Czech National Archives, he hopes to fill in the few blank spots remaining in his family history.
Many of our members received cadastral maps, which show the land holdings of their families in the early 1800s. And they're lovely color maps, only held at the National Archives, so that was a great find for many people. There's also two very interesting, very early source documents for family history. There is the 1651 census, and there is then the 1654 religious census. Many people are trying to connect to those censuses because they give information about their families. We ourselves can trace the Pavelka family into the 1600s, but we haven't linked to the Bernie Rula, which is that census, or the religious census. And that's just, there's a gap in there, so we're working on that.
Did you actually see the census, the original census, this trip? And tell me, if you did, how did that feel?
Well, for a genealogist to see original documents, you know, chills run up and down your spine, and it's a thrill.
Dr. Lenka Matušíková is the Czech National Archives specialist in pre-1848 state and church archival holdings. She worked together with the Czechoslovak Genealogical Society International to bring the current display to light. As she explains, the exhibition is not just about traditional documents, and not only intended for the Czech diaspora.
This exhibition is dedicated to genealogy as such, not only to tracing the family history of Czech emigrants, but the idea to stage this particular exhibit came from the Czech Genealogical Society based in Minnesota, which this year is holding its Back to the Homeland tour. So that's the reason we're staging this exhibition just now. For the main part, it's a collection of family documents and letters gathered by two genealogists from Minnesota. The exhibition is about showing the traces that a person can leave behind and how we, the person's descendants, can follow that paper trail. It's about all we can discover.
Dr. Matušíková says that, in addition to searching birth, death, and land registers, would-be genealogists must mine not only local church, school, and military archives for information, but talk to family members and look carefully through family documents, such as letters and old school report cards, which can provide valuable clues about one's ancestors and how they lived. It is for that reason that the exhibit at the National Archives has so many personal items on display.
It really gives a picture of what information the archives can hold about an individual. I think that the exhibition mainly shows how many paper footprints a person can leave behind in life.
Písemné podobě ponecháváme.
That edition of Panorama brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments or queries, don't hesitate to contact us. You can write us a letter, the address Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email. The address for that, english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Ian Willoughby, and all the team here in Prague, thanks for listening, goodbye, and take care.
Poslouchej.